There are things that we experience but never talk about. A shadow moving in a corner. Flickering of the lights. A disembodied voice. We invite you to talk with us. Share your story. Share your evidence. Because this isn't just your story. This is our story. This is Ghost Box Radio.
Ghostbox Radio on AM 950, where every week we talk about the paranormal, ufology, Bigfoot, or just the unusual. My name is Greg Bakken, and thank you very much for joining me today. You know, we often talk about demonology on this show, and I hope that these discussions with the guests I bring on do not glamorize it, but instead educate. I feel there's a lot of disinformation about it in the paranormal as well as with paranormal television shows that you watch, which is why I like to have an ongoing discussion about it, to give people the opportunity to really listen to folks who've experienced it and who are actually doing the work in the field about it. And today we're going to talk about it a little bit differently. Christina Rake is a bishop at the American Apostolic Old Catholic Church and is teaching a course in demonology at her seminary, St. Hildegard Theological. She founded the seminary last year through her church. It's one of the upper-level electives for the master's degree in theology. She has been studying the occult, particularly demons, for 40 years since an experience she had when she was seven. She holds a master's degree in theology from Andover Newton at Yale Divinity. Bishop Rake also has authored a book, God and the Paranormal, Ghost, Mediums, and the Afterlife in the Bible. Bishop Rake, welcome to Ghost Box Radio.
Thank you very much, Greg. I appreciate you asking me on.
Well, and I appreciate very much you being on and talking about this. A mutual friend of ours, Greg Koss, had alerted me to what you're doing. And you and I have been friends on Facebook forever, but we all know what that kind of means sometimes, right? That we could all be collective in a sense, but not necessarily really ever spoken to each other before. So when he mentioned that you were doing this, I thought to myself, this is a great opportunity to talk about what this is and talk about the work you've been doing. I've been following you around, you know, I've been following what you've been doing for a few years now, and it just seems to be really incredible. And the story beyond the idea of what we're going to be talking about with demonology, what you are doing and how you're helping people is also incredible. So thank you so much for all the work that you and your church is doing.
Thank you very much. I love serving, so I'm doing what I love. So,
and that's great. And we're gonna talk a little bit more about that in the show. One of the things, though, that, you know, the thing that Greg reached out to me about was that you were putting on this course in demonology, and I'm wondering if you could let me know what is that exactly? What is that course? I mean, I've listened to, I think, a 4-minute piece of audio that he had sent me that you put out, as well as I have you had kindly sent me the syllabus for it, and I've been looking through it. And quite frankly, I'm going to be honest, you know, someone who also holds a master's degree, I love this stuff because there is a lot of meat to this from what I'm looking at.
Yes, there certainly is. And one of the things that I think it's important at a seminary, which is specific to training clergy first, and even though our courses are open to anyone who's interested, mm-hmm. is that they look at the concept of demonology not through modern eyes. You're right, it is glamorized. And there's nothing wrong with something that scares you. It's fun to be scared.
Yep.
However, if you look at demonology from a modern perspective, from what you see on television, there's almost nothing to it. It seems so basic, so lacking in information and texts. There seems to be no place to go to read about the history of demons. And so what I decided to do, rather than just explain everything theologically, was to take everyone back to the year we start in 60,000 BC. And we talk about how human beings encountered the concept of evil, encountered forces in nature, and began to discover God, mm-hmm. how they moved through psychologically and socially through these mythologies of gods and demons, and came to specify the demonology aspect and the angelology aspect of religion. And we look at the actual texts that have been written about angels and demons, beginning with Mesopotamia in Samaria and Babylon, with the beginning of writing itself in 3500 BC with cuneiform. And then we move through to the modern age. And I think what surprises people is that there's 5,000 years of texts, of learning, of the greatest minds encountering not just this concept philosophically, but practically. And if you look at what was written in 3000 BC, an exorcism rite, for example, for someone suffering from epilepsy, and mm-hmm. what happened yep. during that rite, and then you look at a television show like Supernatural or mm-hmm. Writings of paranormal investigators or evidence, you're stunned that there's a consistency in description and in depiction of these entities and what they do.
And, you know, it's interesting because you're right. I mean, there is nothing wrong with some healthy scaring, you know, that, you know, especially we're heading into October, which is always Halloween month, you know, and it's kind of fun to have those like things. But, you know, what has to kind of really get you, I mean, it gets me as a paranormal investigator is, you know, I think people sometimes forget the stuff that they're watching on the shows is for entertainment purposes only. And so when I'm in the field, I see a lot of people who are looking at this, like looking at those shows and saying, this is, you know, this is how it works. This is how I should be doing it as I'm an investigator. And that really bothers me about that, because it's wrong and it's misleading. And I run in, you said at one point that, 90% of what you do is not, demon related. You know, it's not demonology. It's not demon related. You know, and that's something I think people are missing all the time on this, is that just because you hear a knock on a wall or something, it's not a demon.
Exactly. And unfortunately, there is a long and storied history of psychical research going back to the Fox sisters mm-hmm. in the 1800s and the spiritualist movement that a vast majority of paranormal investigators are completely unaware of. And without that scientific approach and without that history, they are missing so much. It just in evidence that they don't process because a producer decided a whisper sounded better, that sort of thing. And we miss a lot.
Absolutely. Now, this course, you said that it is open to everybody then, if someone wanted to take it?
Absolutely. I call St. Hildegard's a school without walls or clocks. it's non-synchronous learning, which means you don't have to be at a particular place at a particular time. Because I record the live lectures, you can watch them with the slides, with the discussion, do the readings, and interact with me on a regular basis. So anybody can jump in at any time in the course.
That is really good to know, because, you know, when I first heard about it through Greg, I immediately wanted to be able to see if I could take part in some way and learn, because learning is a big part of not only just if I'm being investigated, but I find the rite of exorcism to be a very mysterious and interesting way. And like you said, too, how many thousands of people over the course of many, many years, even as much as 40 years ago, I would say, even still now, are misdiagnosed, you know, that they people think it's one thing, but it's the other. You know, it could be a seizure. It could be something else. And I find all of it very interesting. And absolutely incredible. I mean, this is going to be really interesting. Like I said, I'm looking at the syllabus, and there's so much to it. I think it's important to point out to people, right? And correct me if I'm wrong. When you're done with the course, you are not a demonologist. You just have a better understanding of that area, right?
Absolutely. No, you will know a great deal about demonology. I assure you, you will know more than basically all of the people who claim to be demonologists. Many of them are not operating from this historical textual perspective, and you can't go into something like this blind. So, no, you will not know the exorcism right. You will not know how to expel a demon, but you will know how it's been done in the past. And those are two completely different things. You can understand how an engine works, but that doesn't make you a race car driver.
Absolutely. And I find that to be really important, because when we're doing our stuff, when we're doing our paranormal stuff, it's good to know the science and also know when to back away also. You know,
yes.
not just because you think it might be a demon doesn't mean you should be dealing with that either. That's not stuff you should be working on, I think. It's, in my opinion, you know.
Absolutely, I agree.
Why don't we do this? You know, I think real fast before I go to break, how do we sign up for this course?
You can go to www.aaoccseminary.com. And it's under fall semester courses, and you just click it and sign up.
That is fantastic. So what we're going to do, let's take our first break. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation about demonology with Bishop Christina Rake. You are listening to Ghost Box Radio on the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, AM 950. And welcome back to Ghost Box Radio on the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, AM 950. My name is Greg Bakken, and thank you very much for joining me. Our guest today is Bishop Christina Rake from the American Apostolic Old Catholic Church, and is teaching a course on demonology at her seminary, St. Hildegard Theological. We have been talking about that in the first segment, but one of the things that I find very interesting, Bishop Rake, is the fact that you had mentioned that you've been really interested in studying the occult, particularly demons. You've been doing this for 40 years. You had an experience when you were 7. Would you be able to share that with us, please?
Oh, certainly. First, I just need to preface this with I was born with a lot of gifts, what people would call psychic gifts.
Okay.
I always viewed them as religious. And so sensing presences was very much part of it. The other thing people need to realize is that when you have a calling to the priesthood, you may not know it when you're a kid, but it's a mark that's on you, a certain kind of light that God's putting in there, and it attracts things. They don't want you to go through with it. So having that target on your back, your entire life you're battling with these strange, bad coincidences. Now, the home I lived in when I was 7 was haunted by the former owner. Lots of people saw him there. But there were other things there. And I often found myself waking up, even at 5 and 6 years old, at 3 a.m., terrified and staying up until the sun rose. And it was a regular occurrence. I didn't understand it, but there was still that connection to the other side, that connection to God. And so I had a strange kind of confidence as a kid that I didn't have to worry, but I was still afraid. One evening, I had my own bedroom. I had bunk beds, though, which I thought was the coolest darn thing. And so I slept on the top bunk, a million stuffed animals on the bottom. And one night, I'm sound asleep, and something wakes me up. I don't know if it was a noise or a sensation. And as I'm waking up, I'm looking at the ceiling, I reach to my right to roll myself so that I'm facing the other side of the room. And as I reach out, the bed's gone. Oh. I'm hovering literally hovering.
Oh, wow.
For about 3 seconds. It took that long to realize what was going on. But the second I realized it, my entire body went flying to the other side of the room and slammed into the dresser. And when it did, the roof of my mouth, because I was missing my two front teeth, thank goodness I would have been after this if I hadn't before.
Oh, goodness.
The edge of the dresser cut the roof of my mouth. Ooh. And I tasted blood. And again, being of that strange gift and that strange confidence, rather than running screaming to my parents, I climbed back into bed and went to sleep.
As one
morning,
does, yeah.
Yeah, you know, that's normal for a 7-year-old, you know.
Yeah.
There's nothing if not abnormal. And the next morning when I woke up, I thought it had been a dream. I go into the bathroom, and there's dried blood all over the bottom of my mouth.
Oh, goodness.
And I washed it up, and I never spoke about it. My parents were okay with my gifts, and I didn't tell them everything, even though they kind of used me as a secret weapon and would ask me, is that person lying? What's going to happen to this one? But I just went on about my business, and those events kept happening, getting slapped in the face in the middle of the night, being choked. It was just a regular occurrence, and so I would get 5 hours of sleep, wake up at 3, and watch television till dawn until I was at least 9 or 10 when the activity slowed tremendously.
Mm, goodness. So do you know why the activity would have slowed?
I'm not sure. I have a feeling these things can't do anything that isn't permitted unless you invite them. All of the spiritual world is about will and intent. That is 9/10 of the spiritual law. So they need invitation and they need permission. And I couldn't give it to them as a child. And so someone else did. I'm not sure if my parents messed up or I'm not sure if it was a test from God. But all of a sudden, it diminished as I start to reach the age of reason. And when I hit 12 and hit puberty, it continued in a new house for a time. And then as I squashed my gifts, the activity stopped. Because what they wanted was that connection cut off. And so I believe as I grew older and didn't want to be strange anymore and wanted boys to like me and all of that, I shut down all of those gifts. And that's when the activity shut because they got what they wanted.
I
wasn't connected.
Sure. And I was wondering, and it sounds like maybe this wasn't the case. I had wondered if your faith had ramped up at that point that also might have affected that also, but it was something else then, it sounds like.
Well, it's a very interesting point you make because I did start to investigate Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
I was not raised in any religion. My father was part Cherokee. My mother had been raised in a Catholic church, and she used to say, I went to 12 years of Catholic school, but I'm okay now. And so I was raised in nothing. But that faith, I did start to investigate it. I did get a Bible. I did read it. And so you're right. I hadn't thought of that. But it was at that time that I started turning towards ministry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that would seem to make some kind of, sense. It is interesting, though, that, you also correlate it with, when you started to kind of enter the world as the, kind of a pre-adult situation that kind of happens too. It's very interesting how all that kind of works out,
It is fascinating. And, there to every problem or every question, there's an answer that's simple, easy to understand, and wrong. Things are usually a complex mixture of events. So
it is, but I mean, I have a feeling your brain, Bishop Rake, is very logical. Right. So, I mean, it seems like that you could put things into compartments fairly easy. And maybe I'm wrong there, but it just kind of comes across that way.
No, you're correct. Yes, I can do that very easily. And I was super smart as a kid, so I was able to sort of separate everything and put walls up to protect myself, because at the same time, I did not have a great childhood. So that was added in, that chaos that probably invited those entities into my world.
Well, you're super smart as a kid. You're super smart as an adult. Why don't we take another break? When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation about demonology with Bishop Christina Rake. You are listening to Ghost Box Radio on the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, AM 950. We talk a lot about Collective Dimensions, and you hear their ads always on my program, and they are a great partner with me. If you haven't had a chance to go to Collective Dimensions, first of all, go to their website, www.collectivedimensions.com. Not only do they sell a wide range of metaphysical goods like candles, pendulums, crystals, but also offer services like Reiki, walk-in readings and healings, and a lot of other helpful, amazing classes tailored to develop psychic abilities, empath skills, tarot card readings, so much more. Plus, they are really, really good people. Collective Dimensions believes in connection, inclusion, love, oneness, and compassion. Check out their website once again, collectivedimensions.com. They are located in Crystal, Minnesota. Definitely take part. Check it out. You will not be disappointed. Also, please save the dates of November 12th through 14th. We're going to have a paranormal event. You have a chance to investigate with me if that's of any interest to you, as well as a lot of other very seasoned and really respectful investigators. And we're going to name where we're going in probably about a couple weeks, maybe sooner. So please, we will definitely make sure that you are well aware where we're going to be so you can take part also. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And then also, you know, if you would like to get a hold of me for any reason, please send me a note, greg@ghostboxradio.com. Really appreciate any sort of communication, any sort of feedback, anything at all. We'd love to do that. And, you know, certainly send out whatever you want. Our guest today is Bishop Christina Rake from the American Apostolic Old Catholic Church. She's teaching a course in demonology. We've been talking about that today at her seminary, St. Hildegard Theological. We're going to first go to the phones. We have Greg Koss on the line, and he wanted just to say hello, I think. Greg, how are you doing?
Okay, Greg. This is awesome. This is awesome.
Good. You and Bishop Rake have known each other for a while, right?
Yes, we have. And,
yes, absolutely.
Bishop Rake, it's absolutely awesome. I'm so happy for you that you got on and you're on the air. And down the road, I hope to go ahead and get you back on probably this coming year.
Excellent. So, I'd love to. It's good to hear from you, Greg.
You too. All my love. And well, you guys have a great show.
You too. Bye. Well, thank you so much, Greg. Thank you very much for the call. And, you know, we're going to have Greg on at some point also to talk about just being a paranormal investigator and how awesome that is, and people who do it respectfully. Now, we've been talking about this demonology course that you are offering, and that is through St. Hildegard Theological. Would you mind once again telling people how they could sign up to take this course, please, Bishop Rake?
Absolutely. You can go to www.aaoccseminary.com. Where you'll have the opportunity to select from this course, or there are other courses in the fall, and all you have to do is fill out a brief form with information, contact information, and then you can register for the course and hop right in. You don't have to be at the live lectures. You can watch them recorded. So you can come and study at your own pace.
I was just going to ask that. If I end up taking part in it, but maybe November becomes very busy or something, and then I have to kind of stall it for a little bit, I could come back and kind of pick up. I'm sure you don't want it to be too far apart, but it doesn't have to – that there is a pace that I could – that works for me, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Absolutely. If you're a degree student, there is a deadline. But if you're taking it for personal enrichment, you are allowed to stay in the classroom and continue to speak with people who sign up after you, continue to have access to the recordings and the resources.
That is fantastic, because this course is calling my name. And there's a couple people I see on the Facebook feed right now who I know would be very interested in this also. Also, just wanted to point out on the Facebook page, you were talking about Mesopotamia and Bridget, who's been very kind to always pay attention and listen to the program. She says, "I'm literally learning about Mesopotamia art in two of my art history classes now," which is really pretty cool. That, you know, it's always funny how that synchronicity kind of happens, where you might be doing some studying or something, and then next thing you know, you're hearing about it on the air and you're just talking about it. You know, it's really interesting how that works.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm sure she's seen the statuette of Pazuzu in the Louvre that I spoke about last night, or the Hell plaque, and all of those interesting things that we looked at last evening.
Now, tell me about St. Hildegard, please, because this is where the course is being offered through, but it's something very, very close to your heart.
It is. In the old Catholic movement, many of the groups within here, and we're all separate groups, almost like Judaism. You have Hasidic groups, you have synagogues, and it's the same thing. We're all Catholic, but a little bit different. And there's not a lot of opportunity to get a theology degree because they're expensive. Wildly expensive. I'm 47 and I'm still paying for mine.
I hear you.
I wanted a school that was affordable, but that offered quality education. So we pay our professors. At this moment, we have 8 professors with doctorates or advanced masters. They've been published in academic journals, and they are teaching these courses. But rather than $300 per credit, it's $130 per course.
Wow.
And we are seeking accreditation. So if you come in and you get a master's degree, once we are time-wise able to apply for regional accreditation and we receive it, all previous degrees are automatically accredited. So you will have an accredited degree for a very, very inexpensive price. And this gives people an opportunity to actually receive formation and education in a way they can afford.
That is amazing, and that is really cool. Now, if somebody wanted to donate to the seminary, is that a possibility? Because I mean, I think that there's people out there that may not necessarily want to take some courses, but hearing the good that you're doing and the what you all are doing to further education on a higher level, is there some way that people could donate?
Absolutely. On our church page, AmericanOldCatholic.org, there's a donate button at the bottom. And in the notes, you mark what it's for if you want the money to go to the seminary, which will assist with the accreditation costs or with speakers. We want to bring in some speakers that everybody can listen to. That would be wonderful. And then we have other ministries. I have an orphanage in Kenya with 15 children, all of whom have seen incredibly traumatic childhoods. And it costs $1 a day per kid just to feed them. And they'll go to bed with water if I don't come up with the $450 a month. So that's always wonderful. We're always looking for sponsors to help with that. We're an inclusive church. Everybody's welcome. Gender identity, sexual orientation, marital status, divorced, remarried, that is immaterial to us, because God loves everyone, no exceptions. So we're here to help absolutely anyone, member of the church or not. That's what we were all called to do, and we do it for free. All of the clergy are volunteers. We have other jobs. So we're here to help you, and anything you donate goes right to the cause. There's no administration costs. There's no salaries. There's nothing like that.
That's incredible. And once again, that can be donations could be made through the church website, right? And then you
yes.
And would you mind saying that URL one more time, please?
Sure. It's AmericanOldCatholic.org. And the donation button is at the bottom of the front page.
How do you feel? And I know that I know that part of the answer to this question will be like there's always need for more. You know, I understand that. But how do you feel the work that you and your church have been doing in the area of feeding children? Do you feel like that you're making good progress?
Yes. Yes, I can't feed everybody in the entire continent of Africa has
right.
a huge orphan issue. But, you know, it's that old saying, you can't change the world, but to one person you can become the world. And those 15 kids will now have a shot. They're being fed, they're being clothed, they're being cared for by a priest and his wife. That's it, just the two of them, because they cared and loved these kids so much. So we can only make a dent, and we can hope that that dent then brings up someone else who, because they've been served, will also serve and change things from the bottom up. That's what we're all trying to do.
And then when a child reaches a certain age and becomes an adult, does another child take that child's place in terms of being part of this of this feeding program, or is this – how does that work?
Well, once the children are ready for secondary school and basically our high school, and they come of age, 18, and they can work, they can then care for themselves and begin to enter society. With the orphanage, many of the children were found wandering the desert, naked, abused, sugars in their hair, the whole horrible thing. They saw their father murdered by their uncle over a land dispute. Both parents died of AIDS, whatever it happened to be. So there may be an occasion where they find another three-year-old wandering the streets or hear about one abandoned, and they'll go take that child in. And so while we try to maintain just this number for now, I don't know what God has in store, and we have to be flexible and do our best to cover the people that God sends and just hope that, you know, there's a reason to it. And we serve him, and what he says goes. So,
he's kind of in charge, huh? Yeah, he's kind of in charge,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, the work that you are doing is – and you and the church, make sure that that is very clear. You and the church are doing is absolutely amazing. And, you know, I'm really hoping that people listening would consider to make a donation of any size, right? Any size would help.
Absolutely. $2 a month feeds, you know, a couple kids every day. And I mean, for three meals and two snacks for $1 a day is very inexpensive. But I also want people to know that, you know, people often feel that the church is all about asking for money. We're also about helping folks who come to us. So if you come and you're poor and, you know, you need help, we may not have the finances, but we're always here to listen, to talk to you, to visit. So please don't feel like that's the one thing we're concerned about. Our first priority is helping people. But, you know, people need money sometimes to help them. So unfortunately, because churches can't work and earn income the way individuals can, that's our only option. So I appreciate any kindness someone can offer, but also know that we're here to offer kindness back.
We're going to take our last break. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with demonology, about demonology, and also about her book, with Bishop Christina Rake. You are listening to Ghost Box Radio on the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, AM 950. And join us next week on Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken, as we're going to have on paranormal investigator, psychic medium, and collective dimensions practitioner Char Savoy. As we head into October, we want to talk about some purely paranormal goings-on, as well as some exciting classes that we're going to be offering about the paranormal and metaphysical. I hope you can join us about that, because that's going to be really interesting and a lot of fun. But we are going to finish our conversation about demonology with Bishop Christina Rake, and we're going to be talking about her book that she has published, that she's authored, called God in the Paranormal, Ghost Mediums, and the Afterlife in the Bible. Bishop Rake, what is this book about?
Well, it started as an email because it did.
Yeah.
A copy and paste email because, as I mentioned, I have gifts, but my theological training was a lot in apologetics, which is the art of answering objections. And what would happen is people would meet me at a paranormal convention or see me online, and they'd write me and say, Bishop, how can you do both? How can you be a theologian? How can you be a scripture scholar and believe in the paranormal? Isn't it forbidden by the Bible?
Mm-hmm.
And in many cases, my pastor wants to kick me out of my church. My family has disowned me because I use these gifts. And so I began writing a response to help these people. And by the time I reached a year of copying and pasting, the email was 30 pages long. And I decided, yeah, I'm just going to write a darn book about it so everybody can read it. And so I wrote a book in which I explained to people that, no, it is not forbidden to communicate with the dead in Scripture. That's not what those verses meant, first of all. Second of all, when the Jews believed the Messiah was going to come, he was going to do certain things to the afterlife that completely transformed it. And so being a student of first century Judaism and a person who thinks like a lawyer in answering objections, I wrote this book that takes everybody through what those verses meant, the translations that get it wrong. How when Scripture says you won't consult the word medium didn't come into existence in the English language until the 1800s in a particular spiritualist magazine. So what does that word mean in Hebrew? And it means ghost wife.
Oh.
The mistress of a ghost, someone who has intercourse with ghosts. And so, you know, explaining this to people and taking them through this logical progression, they can then take this book and go to their family and say, let me show you something. Or their pastor and say, let me show you something. Because Christians believe in gifts, most of them do, and we're just using different language for them. Mm-hmm. And so I've had people whose parents will talk to them now. And I've had someone who gave the book to her pastor because she did readings, called on the carpet. He said, we're kicking you out. She got a copy of the book. She gave it to him. He read it, and he came back and said, yes, this is absolutely right. I have these gifts, too. I didn't realize what you were talking about. And it makes me cry every time someone comes to me and says, this changed my life. I thought I was doing something evil, and yet I felt compelled by God to do it. And so I wrote that book to help people. It's called Part One. I'm working on Part Two, which is quantum physics, religion, and spirituality, and how all those things go together, because I've studied all three. And so it's all about explaining to people that these things are not opposites. They go together, and they go together seamlessly if you know how to read them, if you know how to interpret them.
I think it's really interesting that and maybe this is more more common than I think, but you know, you're writing a book here that is, there is a logical side to it, but also a side that's not, you know, a lot of times I see books that are either they're logical or they're talking about abilities and being okay with it, but I rarely see them together, you know, which I think is really interesting, because you're saying, yes, here's the past, here's what's going on, but also don't you be you, basically, right? You be you. You accept yourself. Because if you're going to help people, you do need to accept yourself. You need to love yourself before you really need to go out and do it and try to get those gifts out there for people, right?
Absolutely. Precisely. And that left and right brain and that reconciliation of opposites has been part of my life throughout my whole life, because it doesn't seem like those things go together. It doesn't seem like I could be a theologian and get a PhD in applied particle physics, which was something I was accepted into. Or it doesn't seem like those things go together, but that's how my brain works. And actually had a scan by the head of Harvard Medical, and they found that my left and right brain communicate in ways that they really shouldn't. And if that's how my brain works and if it helps people, then I feel I'm obligated to explain to them how the head and the heart connect, and that it's not either or for anything. It's both and.
I find that so really heartwarming. Just once again, taking it back to the paranormal side, I've run into so many groups that, you know, they only want to do the scientific side of it, which that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, I feel like that, you know, there's room in the universe for both, and that, you know, I don't think science dispels about spirits, religion, you know, faith. I think it complements it. And that's
absolutely,
that's where I feel like that, you know, what you're doing to me feels unique. And I just find it so fascinating because I know there's a lot of us out there. We see that bridge. You know, we can visualize it between the two, and that they both can coexist. And I find that this has been, you know, such a refreshing conversation, actually.
Well, thank you. And, you know, people can see that it goes together. And my job is to express the connection. If I can express it in a way that people understand, then that's what I have to do, because science asks how and religion asks why, but they're both observing the same things.
Can you quickly give me the link again, or the URL one last time, for the course and for doing donation, please?
Absolutely. This seminary is www.aaoccseminary.com. And the church website on the front page with the donation button is AmericanOldCatholic.org.
Christina Rake is a bishop at the American Apostolic Old Catholic Church and is teaching a course in demonology at her seminary, St. Hildegard Theological. She has also authored a book, God in the Paranormal, Ghost Mediums, and the Afterlife in the Bible, which is available on Amazon. Bishop Rake, thank you so very much for talking with us today.
Oh, thank you very much for having me. This was wonderful. I appreciate it.
I do, too. This has been Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken on the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, AM 950. Thank you all for joining me, and join me next week as we talk to Char Savoy. Everyone, have a great week, and we'll talk to you later.